my first prayer before we even begin to hear the message this morning is that we can use the distraction of that food and keep centered on hearing what's going on in here. So if you would, just bow your head. Father, we come in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, and this morning I ask, Lord God, that our hearts would be open, tender, and ready to receive what you have for us this morning. Father, there's a lot of things going on in people's lives. I believe you're shaking us up in some areas of our life. I believe that the devil is beating us up in some areas of our life. And I believe, Lord God, you want to accomplish much things in our lives and through the life of your church. I ask, Lord Jesus, that as we go to your word, that we would receive it today. Not only in our ears, but in our heart. And that we might be your hands and feet to this community. Hands and feet into our families, into our workplace. And Lord God, that we not hold it in. The gospel is something that we share. Not to just grab it and hold it in. In Jesus' name, amen. Like I said, we 1 week ago we celebrated Easter, and everyone is excited, and we say things like He is risen indeed, and we get excited that the tomb is empty, and then what do? The week after, we go back to the same way that we were living, and what I thought about this week was this is that what did the apostles do? What did they do the week after the resurrection? What did they say? What did they do? How did they act? What was accomplished? And you know what? It was far from just sitting there and doing nothing. It was far more than just getting beat up spiritually. Where people are at each other. Where people are missing out. You know, we celebrate the resurrection of Jesus Christ. We rejoice because he was resurrected that we can have eternal life too. We rejoice that salvation is even offered, and we rejoice that at the moment God was speaking to us that we responded to him and we have a relationship. We rejoice in all of that. It was offered to everyone, but not everyone will accept it, which leaves us with a responsibility, which leaves us with things that God wants to accomplish in our lives. What can we learn from the scripture that happened the week after the resurrection, and how did it affect us? What did they say? How did they act? What did they do? We know, according to scripture, that Jesus was here 40 days after the resurrection, before his great ascension, and before he promises that he's going to return. And he spoke to many believers. He offered up faith. There was many witnesses there. Like I said last week, there was people that recorded the word and the witness in the Bible, but there was also historians. There was also people that wrote these things that had no religious, so to speak, affiliation, that wrote of these things and wrote what he said was going to happen. And I want to tell you what he did in those 40 days changed their lives. Say amen to that. It changed their lives. They were once scared and beat up and unsure, and God had to show him a few things. Peter, I love it. Peter, before the resurrection, denied Jesus 3 times. He was supposedly a believer. He walked with Jesus. He said, "Oh, Jesus, I'll never do that." Jesus said, "Yeah, you will, 3 times. And he did. But after the resurrection, say amen, but after the resurrection, he went out and preached the gospel. He reached people's lives. He made a difference. He did something. You know, I think of this, that, you know, Peter, before the resurrection, denied Jesus 3 times. Peter, you know, after the resurrection, Jesus comes and he provides this great meal of fish. Then he gets Peter And he says, Peter, this is Cebulski paraphrased. He says, Peter, we need to have a heart to heart. Peter, do you love me? Oh Lord, you know I do. Then feed my sheep. A few minutes later, Peter, do you love me? You know I do. And Jesus goes through that scenario three times, asking Peter, do you love me? Peter says, yes, you know I do. And he tells them to feed and take care of my sheep. Which tells me that each one of us that say, Jesus, we love you, has a responsibility to feed the sheep, has a responsibility to share his word, has a responsibility to teach, instruct, and guide the people that we come in contact with. Say amen. I'll start all over again until I hear it, because we do. We have a responsibility. If you can teach, you should teach. If you could sing, you should sing. If you can preach, you should preach. If you can wrangle kids, you should wrangle kids. Because we should be doing what we're gifted at so that we can do and minister to others. We have a responsibility to be plugged into the church. You say amen to that. You have a responsibility. It's not just something nice that you do. Jesus is the one that started the church. It's not my idea. It's not man's ideas. It was God's idea. He said, I will build my church and the gates of hell should not prevail. But yet hell is beating the crap out of us. Do you understand that this morning? I'm being serious and I'm being honest. I am tired of the church getting beat up. That's not the way it was designed. It was not designed to be that way. We were designed to go out and be witnesses. We were designed to go out and make a difference. We were designed to live victorious. We were designed to have abundant life. And we are sometimes the most miserable people that even unbelievers say, what? I don't want any of that. God says, we don't have to live that way. We have a responsibility to instruct and teach. And when he says, follow me, it wasn't a suggestion. He says, follow me. He says, do as I do. Oh yeah, by the way, while you're following me, bring somebody with you. Make a difference. Go and preach the gospel. Go and be my witness. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit. See, we forget that sometimes. Go and be a witness. Oh, I can't talk to nobody. Go and make a difference. What can I do? Go and preach the gospel. Oh, I'm not the preacher. Go in the power of the Holy Spirit. What you talking about? John chapter 1, verses 10 to 13. Talking about Jesus being the Word. Talking about all the things that Jesus has done long before we were created or thought of. And then he addresses how we should be and who he is. Starting at verse 10, he says, he was in the world, and though the world was made through him, the world did not recognize him. He came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet to all who did receive him, now hear me, yet to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God, children born not of natural descent nor of human decision or a husband's will, but born of God. Yet to all who received him, to those that believed in his name, it says that he gave the right to become children of God. With that right comes responsibility, because we are given the privilege of being a child of God. Society wants to paint it like it's something that you did by accident. It's painted as yeah, you go to church and you do all these different things. I'm telling you this morning, it is a privilege to be a child of God. We don't have to take a back seat and apologize that we love the Lord. Or we don't have to apologize that we have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Or we don't have to apologize or be ashamed that if we approach somebody with the Word of God, that God won't have the anointing on us to allow something to happen. Believe, receive, become. I'd like you to write those three words down this morning and get them into your heart, because I want to address each one just for a moment. The last thing Jesus did before he ascended into heaven was equip his believers to live a victorious life. Maybe if your life's not going the way that you think it should or out of your control sometimes, maybe you're not living victorious because there's something in God, in your life that he wants to address. Maybe this morning you're not living the victorious life, which I think is the case with a lot of people, is maybe you're doing it in your own strength. Maybe you're not taking the time to do it in the strength of the Lord. Maybe you're not taking the time this morning to allow the Holy Spirit to minister to you. Maybe this morning you don't understand that Christ dwells inside a believer and that we don't have to do it in our own strength. He tells us to be a witness, but he tells us he will equip us to be a witness. He tells us that we don't have to do things in our own strength, because the power of God is working in our lives. The same power that raised Jesus Christ from the grave is the same power that God gives us to live victorious lives. That means that we should have Easter every Sunday. That means we should live victorious, not meaning that everybody's going to run around saying, life is great, because we know it's not. At times there is challenges. But inside of us, we should know that we have victory. Inside of us, we should know that this is not all there is. There should be some amazing things that happen at Rosedale. Oh, I'm sorry. That would be a great place to say amen. Should be some amazing things happening at Rosedale. We should be seeing people saved. We should be seeing people's lives changed. Not by us, but us being obedient in Christ working through us. You know, God can save through animals at Community Day. God can save by dunking the pastor. God can save by slinging hot dogs at Sharp Shopper. Because all he needs is God's people to be in the community. And he will do what's needed. He will use those things that you think are minor and turn them into something. Do you know that God can save the worst drunk in Middletown? God can save the worst person that's addicted. God can save the worst person that has the immoral life. God can save anyone. Just put them in front of Jesus. He says in his word, this isn't my word, this is his word, in my name you will drive out demons. In my name, you will heal the sick. In my name, you can break addiction, habits, and all the other things that cause you to struggle. Then he says this, You will do things that are impossible in your own strength. I'm sorry, did I tell you in whose name it was done? Jesus' name. In the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. With no limitations. And did I tell you by what power? God's power, not ours. We're limited. I'm good, but I'm not that good. You're good, but not that good. We can't save anybody. But we sure can be a tool that God can use to make a difference. When we say we believe in the name of Jesus, do you really understand what you're saying? You're saying that you believe the truths of God. You're believing that God will do what he says he's going to do. You're saying in the name of Jesus, and you're taking the name of Jesus Christ, you're believing that the same power that raised Jesus is the same power that can raise you. And you rejoice in the same thing because he's resurrected, you can be resurrected. And you're saying in the name of Jesus, and only by Jesus will I be able to obey and surrender my life to Christ. So let's look at these. First, the word believe. The word believe in the Bible means more than you think it's true. When you say believe, you are standing on a truth that is far more than it might happen. It's a good thing. You are believing and trusting Christ. Christ is the one that you're putting your strength in, and you're believing and putting everything in there. You are believing so strong that you commit. Do you understand that this morning? That you commit your life to Christ. Believing is an action word. And you know what's happening in the church today? I mean all churches. It's not an action word. It's something that you've done in the past. Past tense. I believed. Not believing. Not believes. I want to ask you something. Suppose you were walking on a bridge or walking up to a bridge. And you came to the bridge, and this bridge was a big gap between two big spans, and down below you'd fall in a canyon. And you look and you believe that that bridge will hold you in your head. Because you, until you get on the bridge and you go across that bridge, you didn't believe. Do you hear me this morning? So many times we say we believe. So many times we say the bridge, so to speak, is going to hold us. And we get right up to it, but we never go across. And we say that we believe in Christ and that he exists. Well, I want you to know the devil says that. He knows that God exists. He knows who Christ is. But until we put our faith in him, until we believe, until we trust, until we personally make that commitment, we might as well be with that gap between the bridge and not never getting on it. To believe in Christ is to commit your life to Christ. You can't do it any other way. And I believe that the church today is trying to water it down. And we're so careful now. We got to have the right program. We got to do this. We got to do that. How about just proclaiming Jesus and let him be God? Do everything that we know we can do. But it's almost like if I don't fix this, it can't be done. Just proclaim Jesus Christ. Just provide a place where God's word can be heard in the very best way that you know how with the people that you have. Oh, you just think, well, our church isn't big enough to do this and not big enough to do that. It is big enough to do whatever God tells us to do. Whatever that is. And we are not going to be held accountable for something that we can't do. We're going to be held accountable for what we can do and what God told us to do. John 3:16 says, "For God so loved the world that He gave His Son, that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish." Believes. Not past tense, believe. Because in the past tense, it's something that you do and maybe you don't have to do it anymore. Christ is someone to know and to trust and to have a personal relationship with. When I tell people I hate religion, they look at you like you're crazy. But I hate religion. Religion is something you believe and do. A relationship with Christ is active. Religion is something that doesn't change your life or change your heart. And Christ will change our hearts. Religion is something that always tries to get the approval of men. Let me just show you how religious I am. Let me just act religious. Maybe they'll see me coming on Sunday morning to my church. Religion never saved anyone. Jesus saves. Religion makes you think you can earn salvation. How good people think you are, or how much you throw in the offering plate, or how much pull you have in the community. But believe in Christ is an active relationship. It's the only way that you can be saved. It's the only way that you can put your trust in Christ because of what He's done for you. And you want to serve Him. You know, the churches are big to say, "We need you." And I stood up here and I said, "I need you to help me with this. And I need teachers." And Jess is constantly asking for VBS and all these different things. And sometimes we paint a picture of, oh, the church is always just wanting money, wants people, wants this. No, we want you plugged in. We want you this to be more than somewhere that you come once in a while. It's a place that you belong. You don't attend Rosedale. You belong to Rosedale Church. And it makes a difference. It'll make a difference in how you're acting and how you're living out. I found this illustration. Allow me just to read it. It's just a short thing. Jonathan Whitfield was preaching to coal miners in England. He asked one man, "What do you believe?" "Well, I believe the same as the church." "And what does the church believe?" "Well, they believe the same as me." Seeing he was getting nowhere, Whitfield says, "And what is it that you both believe?" "Well, I suppose the same thing." Is it a wonder that people don't get saved? When they say, "Why do you act the way you act? Why do you have what you have? How can you make it through what you're going through and be smiling?" "Well, I believe in the church, and the church believes the same as I do, and well, I guess we believe the same thing." No, how about saying, "I believe that Jesus Christ changed my life. I was lost, but now I am a sinner saved by grace." And He can do the same for you. We have this terrible problem with faith. Josh, I told you I was going to do it, and I'm doing it. I'm going to need oxygen after that, but that's all right. How many believe if I put this on a chair that I can hit this balloon with a rock? Nobody. Nobody believes. 1, 2, 3. Keep your hands up. That's it. I shamed you guys now. Good. Keep your hands up. How many believe it if they hold the balloon? Oh, Oh, saw a hand go down. Put it back up. How many believe? How many believe or would believe if I put this in your teeth? How many believe? Mike never put his hand out. Grace never put it. I don't know if they're faithful or silly. I don't know. Oh, well, then you don't believe then. Oh, okay. Do you see what I'm saying this morning? We have a tendency to just say we believe, but then once we start narrowing it down, hands will go down. Oh, Pastor, I believe you can do that. Worse is the fact that we say, God, I believe you can do that. And then he wants it. Well, would you hold it? You can do that, God. Would you believe it if you really put it close to you? And the hands just go down and down and down and down. This is going to do something. I don't know what it's going to do, but I'm tired of holding it. Do you see what I'm saying? We throw faith around. We say that we believe, and I don't believe that we truly believe. Number two is this. You can put your hand down, Mark. No, I'm just kidding. I'm just messing. Number two is we say we receive, yet to all who received him. So when we look at these verses, we see by definition that if we're going to receive, it's to acquire, to permit, to come into the possession of him, to accept the gift that's being offered, to take. You see what I'm saying? To receive it is something that you have to do. You just, you know, don't do it by osmosis. You take it. You possess it. You come acquire it. You permit it to happen. Society today wants to know Jesus, but it's a form of religion, and they never want to commit, because as soon as something gets hard, or as soon as there begins to be any kind of a struggle, then all of a sudden we miss out, and we begin to falter away. Now, trust me, I'm not saying this morning that you need to be a Bible scholar. You need to understand every word of the Bible. But I'm telling you that you need to understand what Jesus did for you. And you need to understand the responsibility that receiving Christ is a choice that you make in a lifestyle that you live. And then choosing to receive Jesus Christ is the most important decision you will ever make, or the most important decision you have made. God's word promises, and let me read it from Romans 10. If you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess your faith and are saved. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved by his grace. He says, by his grace. First you believe, then you have to receive. You have to come into his presence. You have to take it. You have to permit him to do it. You have to acquire it. You have to accept the gift and the things that go on. And once you do that, you should see a changed life. Say amen. You should see a changed life. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ, there begins to be a change. The Bible tells us that Christ dwells in us. There's going to be a change. It may be instant. It may be a process. And I believe that all these things happen. That there are some things that God does in an instant. Maybe taking an addiction away from you, or taking a habit away from you, or something like that. That could happen in an instant, but there are some things that I believe is a process. And then I believe there's some things that God just allows us to go through and we don't understand it. When you see at a funeral, you see somebody that's 90 years old praying to God, take me home. And then you hear of somebody in their 50s that's passed away and you wonder why. God, why do you allow this? There are some things we don't understand. And at some point, we have to just say, God, I know that you know best. Some of these things happen in instant. Some of these things happen in a process. And a third part of that is that you become First you believe, then you receive it, and then become, because then he begins to do these works in your life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Old things have passed away. New things have come. Aren't you glad that God took some things out of your life? Aren't you glad that he is not finished with us? And that he desires to do these amazing things in our life? And yet the church sometimes, I'm saying the church universal, we put limits on God. We say, I know God, you're God, but you surely couldn't do this or do that. And he wants to. We treat sometimes the part where he said he gave the right to become the children of God. We run around like saying that we're a child of God is a punishment instead of a privilege. There's a new birth that takes in our lives, and there's a new relationship that we have with him. Old things that shackled us are now gone. He takes them out of our lives. The things that separated us from God, he removes that barrier and makes it all new again. Gives us a chance to experience these new things. Some people have been years, their minds have just been flooded with things that they struggle with. And God says, all things are created new. He can set the captives free. He can give us a new mindset. He can change attitudes. That's, some people should be saying amen there. Where he changes an attitude, he changes circumstances, he changes situations that are going on in our lives. Romans 12:1 says, therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. That would be great if we stopped right there. But then he goes on to say, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, his good, pleasing, and perfect will. Some people are running around, I don't know what God wants for my life, but you never take the time to find out what God wants in your life. You never take the time because you're so much trying to do it in your own strength, and God just sometimes, would you just sit down? Would you just breathe and take a breath and allow me to be God? Would you take time to just stop and listen? When we let God's Spirit work in us, we can leave the old things behind. We can see the new things happening. God's family and God's church is not a social club that you attend. That's what I keep trying to. If nobody gets anything else, it's not just a social club where we come. It's somewhere where you belong. You're a child of God. You're equipped to do amazing things in Jesus' name. Strangers in the land here that have overcome because of Christ. Jesus is not the flavor of the month. You understand that? So many people want to just throw it around like Jesus is the flavor of the month. When you profess to believe and you acknowledge that you've received Christ as your Lord and Savior, you become a part of something bigger than you are. Say amen to that this morning. You believe that? I will say that when you did that, or if you do that this morning, you're fair game for all the things that God wants to change in your life. There's nothing that you can say, God, you can have all of this, but not this. Because I guarantee you, as soon as you close that skeleton door, that's the one I want. Yes. Yes.
So I left the church. I left you guys. I was angry. I was mad. I was frustrated. I yelled at God every day. Why is my son sick? Why are you putting my family through this? Why does my mom, why does my dad hate me? And I just said, I'm done. My life didn't get any better. Nothing changed. The only thing that kept constant in my life was one of my best friends, Jess, who was always there. And it was crazy that I would see Marquise at odd places. Or I would post something on Facebook and Michelle would reach out to me, or she would post a comment. I went from a couple different churches thinking that I was missing something. I sat down on New Year's Eve and said, God, what do you want from me? I'm not making a New Year's resolution because I'm gonna break it. He said, I want you in the Word. Okay, I can read the Bible. I went to Catholic school. I was taught to read. Never in my wildest dreams did I think I would find what I was missing in the Word of God. I found it. I recommitted my life on New Year's Day in a room all by myself. Nobody was around. Nobody was there to pat me on the shoulder to say, hey, Jen, good job, you did it. And I've been reading the Bible. I made a commitment. I was going to read the Bible every day. Didn't matter if I had 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 20 minutes, whatever it was. Has my life changed? Absolutely. But it's an inner peace that I have now found. My social circumstances have not changed. My son is still very, very sick. But God is using my son and I. We go to the hospital. We go to different places. We pray for people. We pray for people in waiting rooms. Ben tells people, he tells his therapist what God is doing for him, what God has done for him. I work at Giant. I have ample opportunity every day. And every morning I say, God, don't let anybody take my sparkle away. I was trying to find a church that I felt that I belonged in. Went from church to church to church. Something was missing. It took me going to a church that I went to when I was married to have a pastor stand at the altar and preach not only to me, but to his congregation and to my children, that the church and God was not meant to be outreached. You are not meant to go. It is between these four walls. That it is okay to hate people. It is okay to judge people. That the church is not for the broken. If the church wasn't for the broken, I wouldn't be whole. It was then that God put me in that church. And then it was on that day that my son and I, Jared, stood and went, no, it's not like this. I'm going to tell people. I'm going to prove this man wrong. And I'm going to tell people about God. So, of course, it was probably within the next couple days that I've reached out to Jess and said, okay, so where are we with VBS and where are we with Community Day? And the following Sunday, I got horribly sick and ended up in the emergency room, so I didn't end up coming to church. But the following Sunday, I came into these wonderful doors. And I was home. I know where I belong, and I know where my children belong, and it's with you, wonderful people. I know that this church, God has big plans for this church. I can feel it. I feel it every day. I pray for this Community Day. I pray for this congregation. I feel it. I pray for Pastor Tony. I pray for Becky. It's what we're meant to do. You guys reached out to me and you made it a home for me. And I will be forever ever grateful. I'm glad that Jess brought me here a couple years ago. And I needed to fail. I needed to fall. I needed to know that in the back corner, God was always rooting me on. But he needed me to feel it and to know it. And I have people at work that say to me, Jen, there's something different about you. And I just smile. And I had a teenager the other day that said, Jen, she actually asked me if I was pregnant, and I like laughed at her. And I said, oh my goodness, no, I would probably jump off the nearest bridge if that were the case. And she said, I just don't know what it is. And there's a gentleman that I work with that we actually pray every day at work before we start our shift together. And he said, I know what's different. She's got Jesus. And we find it that we're praying over the people that we're going to come in contact with every day at Giant. And each day it's like, okay, somebody is put in our path for a reason. What that reason is, I don't know. Some days I think it's to dull my sparkle. I really do. But I'm not going to let them. I'm going to smile. Do I still have my days where I feel defeated? Jess knows better than anybody. Lord, do I have them. But that's when I dig deep into the word and I pull from the depths. So today when Pastor Tony were talking, this sermon was for me to tell you, to tell anybody sitting here today, there is hope. I believe with every ounce of my being that God is what I needed and God is what I need every day. I have received it and I am becoming a child of God and I love it. I absolutely love it. Thank you.
I think I'm going to close the service on that. I believe that was a message in itself. Here's the thing that I've struggled with and the things that need to happen here in the body of Christ is that you can't blame God for the things that are going on. He tells us that there's going to be trials, there's going to be tribulations, there's going to be, you know, perilous times in the end times. And to just every time something goes wrong in your life, blame God. You will constantly and always be running. At some point you have to stop. At some point you have to stop and put that trust in God, something bigger than yourself. So here's the way I'm going to close it this morning. I don't know where you're at, but I believe there's been a couple different messages here. If you didn't get that you need to believe, receive, and become, then I don't know what else I can do. If you didn't grab a testimony from a heart. And it was funny when she came back, the message was actually the opposite of what she had just heard. What drove her off was, you know, not sharing the gospel in the community, stays within these four walls, church isn't for broken. My message was God loves broken people and wants to make a difference. And I remember how excited she was after, and Jared was here and he was going like, yeah, I couldn't take that. I wanted to leave. That's not how this works. But there's so much that God wants to do in our lives. So would you just bow your head? If you don't know that Lord this morning, I would invite you to ask the Lord into your life. And it's very simple. It's admitting that you're a sinner. It's admitting that you need him as Lord and Savior of your life. And the same resurrected Jesus will resurrect us into eternal life, and then begin to serve him, begin to acknowledge him. See, there's strength for Jen this morning by saying that she's made this recommitment, and the same is telling somebody and not being afraid that I serve Jesus, because each time you do that, it strengthens you and acknowledge you. And why we tell you to be plugged in, it's not, we do need people to do things. It takes a lot of people to run a church, but it's also to be plugged in, because if you're plugged in, you're not just an attender, you're somebody that belongs, you're part of the family, you have something to do. and it makes a difference in our lives. It will get you through some of those hard times where it would be easy to disconnect. Say amen. Father, this morning I'm asking, Father, for your Holy Spirit to fall fresh this morning. Lord, we've heard several messages. We heard it in our worship this morning as we were singing. We heard it this morning as Jen shared from her heart. We heard it from your word, directly from your word. That we can't just exist. We need to be empowered by you. We can't just get through this. We need to live victorious. I'm asking, Lord Jesus, in the quietness of this moment, if there's anyone here that for the first time has never accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior, that this morning they would do that by a simple prayer between them and God. Lord Jesus, that you would minister, and then that they would tell someone. And they would begin by faith to begin to serve him, begin to read the word, begin to understand what they've just committed to in their life. And then for so many others this morning, we just race through our day. We're saved and we know we're not on our way to hell, but we don't live the lives that we could call abundant. We don't live the lives that we would call victorious. We don't live the lives that would be a witness. Lord Jesus, I'm asking that you would grab a hold of our hearts. That, Lord God, we would be children of God. We would be God's people. We would be the mouthpiece to this community. We would be the church that would reach out and make a difference. And that, Lord God, there would be changed lives. I'm praying for changed lives this morning, changed circumstances, changed situations, changed attitudes. Lord God, that we could be all that you want us to be. And I pray this in the mighty name of Jesus Christ. And all God's people said, amen, amen.